would you rather be than right here, right now?
For Bills fans. Let's go, Buffalo! By Bills fans.
Only Buffalo is going to win it!
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones.
This place is pandemonium!
Here's Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn.
You know, it was about a year ago that we knew we got eliminated. The Buffalo Bills were eliminated in the division round. And we had to just sit here and say, all right, what are we doing? What's next? And a whole plethora of things changed over the course of the offseason. A number of captains, leaders, veterans on this team are no longer part of this franchise, leaving the league, leaving the outside media nation and everyone kind of speculating, what's Buffalo going to do? Is this going to be a rebuild year? They're probably going to take a step back. Yet here we are, Alex. The Buffalo Bills are back in the AFC Championship game for the first time since 2021, where they fell to the Kansas City Chiefs. But this year, it feels like things might be a little bit different here, that Buffalo could seriously go in there and punch their own ticket to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree, Brad. It is a, you know, it is such a different vibe in Western New York and across the media landscape. Last year, you had Stephon Diggs dropping a wide-open 50-yard pass. And this year, you know, it's really almost a coin flip headed into it. Who's going to get this game?
It is. And it's going to be, I don't know, kind of everything we're hoping for in this one. We're, you know, I think a lot of folks out there without a dog in the race here would love to see the Bills and the Chiefs go ahead and throw blows in this one. But, I mean, I don't know. I could see this as a game where it could go not close and it could go either way. I don't quite see it as a Chiefs end, but I could see if the Bills win this one, it could be at least two, possibly, you know, a three, like a 17-point margin of victory here. I think it could be a decent one. There's no guarantee in this one, absolutely none, but I feel like everything favors the Bills a lot more in this one, other than obviously the big elephant is, Arrowhead Stadium being on the road in Kansas City, Missouri. Outside of that, I think there's a lot that favors the Bills in this matchup.
I completely agree, Brad. I think it's one of those interesting matchups for the Bills where it's kind of, like you said, it feels like a, I don't want to say like, it feels like a story we hear a lot in the NFL. You have a team that's kind of, they've been winning, but they've been winning the hard way all year long. They have a couple losses underneath them, but really, you know, they just keep finding a way. They get to the playoffs, they keep finding a way, and then all of a sudden their luck just kind of runs out. And I could see that happening. I'd also see this one being an absolute slugfest coming down to the last second. These are two teams that know each other incredibly well. They're two teams that have been top five most successful teams in the past decade. It's all on the backs of the two franchise quarterbacks.
You know, Alex, what you just said there, you know, winning by a hair, winning by a thread, and then just running out of steam, that reminds me eerily of the 2022 Buffalo Bills, a team who, you know, had a very good record. They lost three games. They had one thrown out because of the DeMar Hamlin game with Cincinnati. But they had some close wins, a three-point win over Miami December 17th, an eight-point win over the Jets, a three-point win on Thanksgiving Day over the Lions with a Tyler Bass field goal, an eight-point victory over the Browns. There was a lot of close games in this one. Kansas City, of course, that year, 24-20. And by the end, I mean, they were hanging by a thread and they got smoked in the playoffs by Cincinnati, and that was the end of that. I don't think that Kansas City is that kind of franchise. They're too well coached, too well managed, and they have one of the best quarterbacks in football in Patrick Mahomes to let that happen. But I'm feeling comparisons just based on what you've said, everything, Alex. It really feels similar back to the Bills in 2022.
Yeah, it does, Brad, and it kind of is one of those things where it's like, you almost, I don't know. I always have a gut feeling about games, and I just don't, you know, my gut's feeling good on this one. I think, the Bills have a laundry list of injuries as we get into the injury report. And you know what? It's just one of those things where it's like, you know what? We're just going to I think it's the playoffs, and if you're not dead on the sideline, you're probably playing in this game.
Yeah. So we'll see. We're going to talk more about the Chiefs game coming up here throughout the duration of the podcast, but it'd be wrong of us not to go ahead and look back at what Buffalo did last Sunday. And I knew how it was going to be a national media reaction. From the moment the game ended, the thoughts that ran through my brain, and I think I was pretty much true on this, is it wasn't going to be how the Bills won this game. It was going to be about how Baltimore lost, how Baltimore should have won this game, how they went into Buffalo as favorites. Well, you know what? Buffalo went. They got the two-point win. They did what they needed to do. And I had a feeling in this one. I mean, Josh's numbers, he didn't even throw over 200 yards in this one. He had a decent day, 2 touchdowns on the ground. It was efficient throwing the football. Stats were a lot to show, and it almost makes me wonder, going back to the Chiefs game a little bit here, that they're saving as much as they can off of film study, off of that, and they're going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at KC this weekend.
Yeah, I completely agree, Brad. It is, there's so much going into this game. I think both of these teams are going to come in, and it's two teams looking to really make the history books, right? Because like, if the Chiefs make the Super Bowl, they go for a three-peat, which has never been done. And if the Bills make it, it's sort of, they're getting the monkey off their proverbial back. You know, they're doing what basically no one really thought the Bills could do a decade ago. You know, it was almost a joke at that point. Oh, the Bills make them a Super Bowl. It's one of those things where this franchise has been building to this eventual goal, and for them to be so close to reaching it feels like the Bills need to take a major step forward here.
And I hate to be that way towards the AFC Championship game this weekend. I almost want to call it a must win. I feel like for respectability, for everything going forward, for this franchise, regardless of what happens in the Super Bowl at this point, we can discuss that once they're in the game, but I feel like this is a game for everything this franchise has put together, what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean has done. This is must win, it feels like to me.
It is. It feels like a bit of a watershed moment.
And if you hear any of that, you know, the Bills must win, I'm not all, you know, overconfident in the Buffalo Bills. Like I said, this is a coin flip type of game. You said it, Alex. But I feel like there's so much hinging on this. I wouldn't think it would be a disappointment. Of course, it'd be slightly disappointing. Let's be real here. But I don't think it would be soul-crushing if they didn't win this game. So let's just go out and win. Let's not worry about any of the bad feelings around it. Let's go. Let's win. And let's start talking about, all the gumbo and Creole and New Orleans food that we could cook for our New Orleans-themed Super Bowl parties this year.
To be honest with you, Brad, this team was never supposed to get this far. This was our regression year. This was our step-back year. This was, this was the year that, Josh Allen's not that good. Oh, the Bills might not even make the playoffs. They're definitely not going to win the division. And so, you know what? Like, as much as it is, there is a step this team needs to make to sort of prove, like, hey, we're the ones. You know, there isn't just one team in the AFC. For all the improbability that the pundits thought before the season, it just feels like this, the Bills have kind of taken that to heart. Heard it with Josh Allen's comments, we're too small, we're not big enough to hang with them, speaking on the Ravens game, and it really feels like this team has, taken that to heart, has really shown that, like, hey, you know what, we we did hear all that noise, and we used that as a rallying cry for ourselves.
Well, it's a big one. Everything's on the table this weekend. A 6:30 kickoff from Kansas City, Missouri, in Arrowhead Stadium as the Buffalo Bills and the Chiefs will do battle here. Now, going back to the Baltimore game, you know, it started out, you know, drive for drive, you know, 7-7. It looked like they were going to match blows. And then, how did you read this? What happened on that first Lamar interception to Taylor Rapp?
I'll be 100% honest, Brad. Keep it a bean. I kept up my tradition of not watching the first half. I ended up watching about three series of this game.
Okay.
I turned it on at halftime, like I normally, like I have been doing the back half of the season, and the Bills have been on this little win streak here.
Sure.
And the drives, the vibes weren't good. You know, three and out. Baltimore drives down, gets a field goal, three and out. Baltimore scores a touchdown, and I went, you know what? I'm going back to not watch it. And so I was just sitting on my phone watching the score bug tick, 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 watching every drive happen. And it was nerve-wracking, to say the least.
Well, I think it was slightly underthrown. I didn't see who was on top of the coverage, but Rapp with a nice interception, that's really what started turning the momentum. You know, there was that huge fumble return from Von Miller where the ball got jarred loose and Von took it down the field a good distance. And then they got a touchdown on that drive. No points on that interception before, but eventually they did find the lead there. And, you know, they got another touchdown before halftime, two field goals in the second half. You would have liked a little bit more, but ultimately, I'm going to go back to what my, you know, Buffalo Rays grandfather always told me. He said, Bradley, winners find ways to win and losers find ways to lose. And to quote him, right now, we're winners. So,
yep. The Bills found a way to survive and get through it. And you know what? They don't ask how, they just ask how many.
And I don't know about you, but I've blocked out as much of the national media this week as I can because I know they're not going to favor us. They didn't favor us last week, and I blocked them out, like I said, as much as I could last week. But, you know, a lot – and it was brought to my attention. A lot of people pointed out that they kept talking about, you know, oh, well, Baltimore beat them 35-10 in week four. Baltimore beat them. I've seen them mention a lot of articles and everything this week, but I'm not sure how much folks are going back and saying, well, Buffalo's the only team in the NFL that beat Kansas City starters this year. They're the only one that beat their starters.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm staying away from the national media because we're never going to get any type of favoritism or anything. Not that we need it. I just like, you know, teams to be treated equal. No, that's fake news. There's no such thing with the way the media markets work. Nope. Everyone's after the almighty dollar. So they will go ahead and disparage smaller markets like Buffalo, New York. And that's fine. They can go ahead and do that. I just won't be a part of it right now.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is, Brad. That's the cost of doing business. And we don't care about media markets. We care about one thing, and that's Josh Allen touchdowns. I thought it was a pretty – I know it wasn't his best air day ever.
No.
But I thought Josh Allen had a really good performance. He scored two on the ground, and he did what he needed to do. You know, he didn't turn the ball over. He didn't play silly. He did exactly what you needed him to do in the exact moment you needed him to do it.
Well said there. Like you said, didn't turn the ball over. Lamar turned the ball over twice, one by air, one by ground. Josh committed zero turnovers in this one. The Bills committed zero turnovers in this one. And, you know, I thought they ran the ball well. Derrick Henry had 84 yards and a touchdown on the ground. But if you can hold Derrick Henry to 84 yards, they held him in check in the first half. Let him loose in the second half a little bit. That may have been part of the game plan the whole time. I think Buffalo played this one super smart. They were super prepared in this one. And the media can tell us how close it was, and they can put stuff on Mark Andrews. All right, we know it wasn't Mark Andrews' fault they lost that one. Tremendous strip sack peanut punch by Terrell Bernard. And, you know, he dropped that catch that would have potentially tie the game. There's a .133 remaining. Don't tell me that Buffalo would have done what Kansas City potentially would have done last year. Had Tyler Bass made that field goal, drive down the field, win the game. I would expect it to end that way. It didn't have to. There's no sense in talking about it. Buffalo wins 27-25.
Yeah, and I think that, to be honest with you, Brad, it did feel a little bit like that playoff game, right? Like, you felt like, oh, like last year felt like even if Bass makes that kick, like, all right, well, Mahomes is still going to march it down here and score. You know what I mean? It just, that was the vibe headed in. That felt like the vibe. It just felt like the Bills were like, yeah, no, we're just going to march it down and score. That's okay. Like, it's okay, you got the two. Like, we're just going to march it down here and score. And, you know, him dropping it felt very eerily similar to the Bills last, or to the Chiefs last year, you know?
Yep.
The Tyler Bass, who had been
yep.
a really phenomenal kicker his entire time with the Bills, and all of a sudden he misses one, a chip shot field goal, really. And you know what? It really is interesting how much parity there is in the NFL.
All right, a reminder right now to find us across our social media platforms. Of course, find us online at drafthousesports.com and at facebook.com/BuffaloBillsDraftHouse. On Twitter, follow Alex at TWCallahanDHS. Follow me at BillsBruiser. Follow us at DHS. Buffalo Bills Chiefs AFC Championship game. And kudos right now to my mother-in-law. One of the Christmas presents I got from her was one of those tear-off Buffalo Bills calendars. The fact for today, January 23rd, that it was, what would it be, 31 years ago today, Buffalo beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game to punch their fourth straight ticket to the Super Bowl. So I think it's kismet it's this week. It's on the road. You know what? Kansas City went in on the road last year and beat Baltimore. Home field advantage is nice and all, but I don't think it scares this Bills team. Heck, they've gone in the Arrowhead, three or four times over the last several years and won in Arrowhead during the regular season. I think that it's time to turn the page. This team is healthy. We'll talk more about injuries. I don't see why they can't go in and win this game.
No, I don't see why either, Brad. I think it's one of those, you know, this, and at this point in the season, it's really any given Sunday. Genuinely is any given Sunday, any given moment, your team, it's just, you know, it's just a whole different style of play. It's just a whole different vibe. Everything is just, every inch has to be earned, every centimeter fought for. And the Bills looked, you know, at the first half looked juggernaut. They looked borderline unbeatable. And then the second half, Baltimore made adjustments. The Bills looked a little cold. The Bills looked a little slow. And the Ravens were able to slow them down. But the Bills are one of the best teams at self-scouting. And I think that's going to get into, you know, why the Bills are going to be successful. I think they're going to take the game plan that Baltimore used to shut them down last week, and we're like, you know what? All right, here's how we can get out of this. Here's how we can get out of this.
Sure.
I think part of it was Connor McGovern was playing with an injured shoulder in that game. That hurts a lot when you have one of your, you know, your prime guys fighting through an injury like that.
Well, let's talk about the Buffalo Bills and their injury report right now. So, as it stands, the injuries that came out of this game that are concerning, Christian Benford, apparently he suffered a concussion on that onside kick recovery by Rasul Douglas. He has been limited, so he's going through the concussion protocol. We'll see. He could play. Honestly, if he doesn't, I have strong faith in Kyir Elam. Little sticky, little handsy at time. Yeah, he's going to get flagged, especially in Kansas City, but it's not the end of the world. I'm optimistic, though, that Benford's going to be a go in this one. The other limited participant was Teron Johnson. He was full yesterday, limited today. Neck, shoulder, something worth keeping an eye on.
Probably, honestly, just the equivalent of a veteran rest day,
just
Brad.
Light that work, yes. Seems, yep, and that's how
yeah,
I read
like,
it.
You know what? Hey, light work, you're chilling.
And all right, Sean McDermott put out there that Matt Milano isn't injured. He's dealing with soreness. It says biceps slash hamstrings, and it's really hamstring soreness. And, you know, I was talking with someone today, and we threw it out there. I think it's worth speculating on that maybe this was a chess move. It's a move like, okay, we're going to pull you out of the game. We're going to rest you. We're going to, you know, get you well this week, and then all systems go against Kansas City, you know, keep that little pawn in there, pull him back a little bit, and then go in for the attack.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's a bit of a gambit, Brad. But you know what? It is a move that teams make where, you know what, hey, we're, well, and I think teams, too, are very, I think, I forget which team was, somebody got in big trouble for doing some janky stuff with the injury report. So I think teams now are much more conscientious of that and try to be as honest as possible where it's like, hey, this is what he's dealing with, so that they don't get those, you know, you don't get draft picks taken away.
Well, and I think they really need Matt Milano healthy in this one. I would think he'd be a go because Chris Kelce has had probably his statistically worst season in the NFL. I know. Thank you, Swifties. But ultimately, he went off because Houston didn't really make any effort to cover him. I think Matt Milano's the guy that you're going to stick on Kelce, who's been limited this year. If you can just have him on him, take that safety net away from Mahomes, it's going to be a different game.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Having guys like Teron Johnson, even like Lewis or any of those guys who can kind of play those hybridized roles, It is really important that you have a game plan for Travis Kelce.
The only other name we have on the injury report for the Buffalo Bills, and I think this is the most concerning, though, should you be concerned here. Taylor Rapp, he was carted out with a hip injury. X-rays were negative, thankful, but he hasn't practiced either 2 days. It's getting late in the week here. I'm going to say he's going to be a no-go in this game, and that's fine. Cole Bishop, I think, came in and held his own. He's a rookie. And it's funny that the players have said, you know, part of the reason that Cole Bishop has been poisoned ready, Micah Hyde being on this roster, he's helped work and helped get the rookie game day ready. That's been huge, having that leadership in here. I'm not worried about Hyde dressing in this one. They could elevate him. We'll see. But I really think that if Taylor Rapp is a no-go, they're going to have to lean in on the rookie. Could he get picked on? Potentially, but I think they're going to be okay with Bishop out there.
I agree. I think probably what you see in the elevations this week are Jalen Virgil and I think Eli Anku, who's back on the practice squad this week. It just makes a lot of sense at this point to do that. To bring Mike up this week, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they have so many guys, Cam Lewis, they have just so many guys who can play those multifaceted roles that I just don't expect them to pull them up. I think that might be saved if they are in New Orleans for that day.
Yeah, and I think so too. But like I said, in this one, it's winner go home. So one of these two teams here is going to be, you know, getting ready for the Super Bowl, and the other team is going to be doing locker cleanup on Monday. And I really hope it's the boys in red. While Buffalo is, you know, back getting ready and preparing and getting ready to make that trip to New Orleans. But it's going to be a tough one, no doubt. My interest in this one is the running game. Kansas City hasn't had much of one. I heard this today that it hasn't been since November that a running back in Kansas City has had over 60 yards rushing in a football game. That's a mind-blowing stat. With how selfless the Bills have been, not just everyone eating in the pass game, but on the ground game, it's true. James Cook is getting yards, but so is Ray Davis. Ty Johnson's getting carries, and of course, you have QB1 and Josh Allen running the football as well. That I think the run game and getting that going early and establishing the run is going to be huge for this Bills offense, because it will, as they say, help open up the pass, but chewing up clock, sustaining long drives and running the football, I think we're going to see a lot of that from this Bills offense early.
I agree. I think that the Bills are going to continue the focus they've had all year on those long, sustainable drives. And I think that the Bills are going to continue that consistent pressure. Teams really feel that when the Bills are on the field, because it does feel like every opportunity you have to make the most out of it, because the Bills are incredibly good at taking those opportunities and turning them into 5, 7, 10 minute drives. And all of a sudden you make one little mistake, or you make one little slip up, or you ending up having to punt, and now you are fighting for your life.
So the Bills beat the Chiefs, as we all know, back in November by a final score of 30-21. Two offensive pieces they did not have in that game, Alex. They did not have Keon Coleman, and they did not have Amari Cooper. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Kincaid was out on that one too, and Buffalo still went in and took care of business at home.
Yeah, it was a lot of injuries for the Bills. I think there was also one or two defensive players who were not available for that game as well.
So, I mean, it's, well, obviously Matt Milano being one of those guys as well there. So, I mean, there's a lot of things different in this matchup that Buffalo has gotten healthy at the right time. They've been playing well throughout the course of this season. They really only lost down the stretch outside of a game where the Bills played their backups against the Patriots was a tough shootout loss to the Rams. And we could see a shootout, but considering, you know, everything, I don't know. I'm not led to believe that. I feel like it's going to be closer low scoring, or it's going to be one way or the other.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be close. Everything in the playoffs is tight, right? You know, every single matchup is tight. Every single inch you got to earn, every single mile you got to take. So, it's going to be a hard-fought matchup no matter what.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. Andy Reid, I loved Andy Reid ever since he coached Philadelphia. I think he's a tremendous coach. They're very fortunate to have him. They're fortunate to have Mahomes. Let me ask you this, and it's been brought up this week. Would it bother you as a Bills fan if Xavier Worthy has a sizable impact or any influence on this game?
No. Brad, sorry to interrupt. That was the other big injury. Spencer Brown was out for the Bills.
Who? Yeah, without your starting right tackle, that is a big injury. Good call there,
It
Alex.
Was Keon Coleman, Kair Alam, Eddie Afonso, Will Clapp, Spencer Brown, Dalton Kincaid. Cooper was active but played in a limited role.
All right, well, weather is going to be fair. It's not going to be – it's like 40 degrees in Kansas City on Friday, 40 degrees on Saturday, high on Sunday at 34. So it's probably going to be closer to 30, even upper 20s by kickoff. Winds aren't expected to be a huge factor, 5 to 10 miles an hour. So it doesn't look like weather is going to be a huge concern. It's going to be cold, but shoot, it's been so cold here in Buffalo, I think this team will be just fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, it has been, I mean, honestly, everywhere right now, it has been so utterly brutal cold that I think everybody's just numb by now.
And that's one thing I want to throw out here, that no matter where you're listening to this podcast, whether it's in the States, outside of the States, in Europe, across the pond, I see where you're listening. I get to look at those numbers here. Wherever you are, just stay warm. Take care of yourself. It's been just a nasty week weather-wise across the country. I know folks in Houston, I know folks in Dallas last week had snow. Houston obviously getting it this week. It's been crazy.
New Orleans.
Yeah, they had snow in New Orleans. Freaking nuts. Take care of yourself. Be well. Stay warm this weekend.
Absolutely. Take care. Stay safe. Keep your families and yourself safe.
Keys to the game in this one here, Alex.
Win the turnover battle. Bills win the turnover battle. The probability they win this game is insanely high. Maintain the clock. Don't let Kelce and Mahomes beat you. You know, how you do that, you keep them from staying on the field. You know, it is unfortunately one of those things. If you give them opportunities, they are going to take advantage of it. How do you limit those opportunities? You don't let them play against you. Take advantage of every single scoring opportunity and make it so that basically they just don't see the field.
That's it. Time of possession, I think. Whoever wins time of possession this game, probably going to be the one that wins this football game.
Yeah, I agree. It's if you are able to hold the turnover margin and the time of possession, everything should be going right for you, and you should be able to take that
Josh
win.
Allen has been so smart and has done such a nice job of taking care of the football. I ask Josh, I know you listen to this podcast, you must. Josh, please just do what you've done all year. Don't change who you've been this season. Take care of the football, please.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, that's kind of been the whole idea behind what the Bills have done this year. They've been very smart with the ball. They've done a really good job of taking care of it. And in all honesty, that's who they are is, you know, that's what McDermott's always wanted from his quarterback, right? And I think he's come a long way in being okay with Josh Allen having his Josh Allen moments because he trusts him so much. And you know what? You got it. When you build that trust with a QB, that's key.
One thing I also want to give, if you want to give flowers for McDermott for anything, he's continued to grow each and every year he's been a head coach as far as his in-game management. Kudos to him for being able to let his offense just go out there and play. All the times that they've let them go for it on fourth down, that's been huge for this team.
It has, and I think a big part of that, Brad, is the aforementioned trust. You know, and I think McDermott realized, you know what, like, I have somebody special here, right? Like, Ron Rivera kind of needed to learn it with Cam Newton. I have somebody special here. I'm going to go out there and let him make special plays.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see. Can Josh be special? Can the Bills continue to defy the critics and punch their tickets for New Orleans? We'll only know until the game ends. We can't speculate. If I had a DeLorean, I'd be gunning it to 88 right now to find out. I'm stoked. I'm amped. I'm excited for this game. Get your popcorn. Get your treats. Get all your snacks ready. This is going to be a good one.
Absolutely, Brad. If, you know, you had the time machine, like you just said, it would, I mean, you could make a killing at the sportsbook, too.
Final thoughts this week here, Alex?
You know, it. No matter what, if win or lose, the Bills have had a dominant run for the last 8 years. I think it's what? Five straight division titles. And I know it's tough as fans to be thankful for not being able to punch the ticket and finally getting over the line. But at the same time, comparatively to where we were as a franchise, you know, 2-3 years ago, 7 years ago, it makes you think how, it just makes me thankful that this is now the standard for our team. This is the expectation year in, year out, that if you're not having success deep in the playoffs, that's when, for the longest time, you know, just getting there would have been the biggest thing. And now it's like, no, we aren't happy unless we are wildly successful.
Alex, I'm almost tempted to go dig into our archives. You and I started doing this podcast together towards the tail end of the drought. And I remember all the stuff, you know, building and saying, this is how we go. This is how we get there. This is what we want, expectations and all that. Alex, you kind of laid it out for us. It's all come to fruition at this point. It's go time now for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, you know, just thinking about how different, you know, think about all the eras, right? We had the Doug Marrone era. You had Kyle Orton almost make the playoffs. Basically, if the Bills don't choke a Raiders game in Oakland, on an awful Oakland team, they make the playoffs. You have the Rex Ryan years, the initial excitement, the lackluster performance, the introduction of McDermott, the trade on draft day. In the 2017 draft, then you have drafting Josh, you have the hope it brings, the rookie, you know, the breaking the drought in 2017, and just to where we are now, where it's where guys will take pay cuts to be here, where Buffalo is now one of the top priority free agent destinations to play at. It just feels amazing as a fan to be at that point.
That's where they wanted to be, and that's where they are. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Find us live at drafthousesports.com, DHS Buffalo at TW Callahan, DHS. Find me at Bills Bruiser at facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Draft House. Alex, I don't think there's much else left to say this week other than go Bills.
This has been the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Available on Spotify, Odyssey, Prime Music, Audible, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An R Street Media production.